This is Katie and Kay. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment News Team. My name is Laura. I go to Carbondale Middle School and I am in 6th grade.
My name is Olivia and I go to Basalt Middle School. I'm also in 6th grade.
My name is Quinn. I go to Carbondale Middle School and I'm in 6th grade.
My name is Mountain. I also go to Carbondale Middle School and I am in 6th grade.
We will be with you for the next 30 minutes. Every Wednesday after school, our youth news team meets to prepare quality youth news stories. We work with Riley Burley from the KDNK news team to learn about journalism. We have currently been discussing newsworthy stories at the local and national level. We are also learning about interviewing, and throughout the semester, we will be conducting lots of interviews with people in our schools and community.
Today, we are interviewing the new station manager, Gavin Dahl, because Katie and Kay is in the middle of the membership drive. We want to know what Gavin does for the station and what the station does for the community. Hello, Gavin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Gavin, tell us about your interest for the radio and where it began.
Ooh, great question. Well, just like y'all, when I was young, I loved the radio. I didn't have the opportunity to get involved myself, so I was mostly a consumer, you know, mostly listening to the radio. But I had, who here knows what a cassette is?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. You know what, you've at least heard of a cassette tape, even if you haven't used one. So I used to have this little cassette tape recorder, and I could punch the record button and the play button, and it had a little microphone built in. So I could record things out around wherever I was going. And so my mom and I would drive in the car, and I would record songs off the radio, or I would record, you know, little conversations and my friends and stuff like that. And so early on, without even knowing that I was already basically a radio producer, I kind of started to do that kind of stuff. I also used to, and this is very popular in the 1980s when I was a kid, I used to make tape recordings off the radio. Not on that little thing, but on another tape deck. And so then whenever my favorite songs would come on, I would start the tape and record them. And then at the end of the song, I would turn off the tape. And then at the end, I'd have these mixtapes. That's where the term mixtape comes from, is literally just recording things onto a cassette. And so I became really obsessed with this guy who used to be really famous on the radio called Casey Kasem. And Casey Kasem used to do the top 40 countdown every week. And so it was a lot of pop music, but at the time, it would be a mix of kind of hip hop and soul and you know, that kind of dance music with rock and grunge and all that kind of stuff. So I got really into this idea of top 40 countdowns. So I would then do my own top 40. So every week I would write out my own favorite songs in order. So that was kind of where it all started. And then in middle school, I got involved with the school newspaper, and I had the opportunity to do a tour of my favorite radio station at the time. And I went down there, and they were so nice to me. I got to see the rooms where all the bands had been. It was signed by all the famous bands at the time, Nirvana and Green Day and stuff like that. And it just really seemed, all of a sudden, it seemed real. Like, we could really do it ourselves. Again, I didn't have anything as cool as the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, but it just seemed like, oh, wow. Anyone could do this, you know? So then when I got to college, my very first day on campus, I walked into the radio station and became a student radio DJ. So it, for me, it didn't really start until I was 18. And I've literally been in radio ever since. I'm 36 now, so almost 20 years in radio. I'm obsessed, and I'm particularly really committed to community radio, which is different than commercial radio or even NPR type, you know, public radio. And the thing that's so essential about community radio is that people from the community can come in, get the training, and get onto the airwaves. It's a very different thing than your average radio station, which is either programmed by a small staff or off of an algorithm, off of a computer. There's just something so vital and so, you know, authentic about that all of us, whether we're ages 8 to 93, like Art Ackerman, that we all have the access to bring what we're passionate about to the radio. So that's really, I think, I found my home in community radio, which is a really beautiful concept.
And how did you end up at KDNK?
Great question. So I first came to Carbondale a couple of years ago for what was called the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Network Conference. And Steve Skinner and the whole crew at KDNK hosted that event. I was at the time working with a station in Boulder called KGNU, which is another community radio station. It's really cool on the Front Range. And so I got to come up here. It was my first time in Carbondale. It was freezing cold. It was like 20 degrees. The roads were all icy. I just barely made the drive. It was one of my first drives up here. And And I just really was charmed by Stacy Stein from As Yet, and by Steve and Luke Nessler, the music director, and Amy Marsh, the reporter. And I just thought, this is a really cool crew of people. And then a year or two later, I think maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, the news director at the time, January Jones, decided she needed to move back to Indiana to deal with some family stuff. And so the job for news director was posted. And at the time, I thought, oh, maybe I could help them find the right person. And then as the deadline to apply came up, I started to realize I would be awake at night, unable to sleep, thinking I am going to regret it for the rest of my life if I don't apply for this job and try to do this. And so I applied for the job. I came up and interviewed, and I was so excited that I had the opportunity to come up here and be the news director. But my wife had a very good job in Denver at the time. So it was a big decision, and she really wanted to support me, and she knew that this was what I wanted to do. And so I came up here May of last year, and then 9 months later got promoted to be the station manager in February.
And can you tell us about the membership drive and where it began?
Great question. So one of the things that's really unique about public radio is that we rely on our listeners for funding. And so this is important for y'all to know as youth, is that one of the things that's so unique about this model of radio, it's different from commercial radio where during the campaigns, they just run ads for every candidate over and over and over, even if the ads aren't true. Or, you know, the car dealerships will say, come on down and buy the best price Subaru you can buy. Not to pick on Subaru, but just, you know, whatever company. And there's something different about that here, which is that we're non-commercial. And so because we're non-commercial, we can't say things like, come on down and buy a Chevrolet or whatever. We have to say very, very specific things about who, what, and where the funding is coming from. But the thing that's so unique about being a membership drive station, a station that relies on membership, that the listeners fund, what that means is we're not beholden to some outside force, whether that's Wall Street banks or the big record companies or the car dealerships or whatever else it is. We owe our listeners a good show. And that means that we're really focused on serving the people who are tuned to us, and not sort of the traditional model in commercial media is if you watch TV, your eyeballs are actually being sold to those advertising companies. You think about it, you think, oh, well, the car dealership, they're buying an ad on the TV station. But what's really happening is the TV station is selling you, the audience, to the advertiser. And it's a very different model in non-commercial media, where we have membership drive means that we ask our listeners for direct support. So we, the station, are serving the listener in a very direct way. It's a really precious thing that we have, but it's also a challenge. Right now, we're trying to raise $75,000 to get to our budget for the station for membership. And it's really easy to support the station. You just pick up your phone and call 963-0139 and you say, I love KD&K and I want to be a member. You can go to kdnk.org and click donate. But it's not easy to raise that much money, especially because a lot of us love community radio, but we don't necessarily have the big bucks. I'm guessing none of you in this room who are hosting this show have a ton of extra spare cash just lying around. You're not going to be giving us $1,000 this pledge drive. So we have to do it one call at a time, one member at a time, in many cases, $5 a month. That's the way it goes. But it's also, again, it's a really beautiful thing that we're a station that is beholden to its members. And most of our members are not extremely wealthy people who have a lot of power. Most of our listeners are people who are just everyday folks just like us in this room who feel passionate about this station and they want to support it. So I think that's, you know, it's a really precious thing that we need to protect and preserve in this community. And I hope that all of you will someday be running this station if you choose to stay in the Valley and work in radio.
What does a station manager do and what's your favorite part about it?
Ooh, man, I do a lot of stuff. One thing I don't do much of is sleep. But you know, the part of what's so cool about KD&K is that we have over 100 volunteers. And so a big part of my job is to stay out of the way and let volunteers do their own thing. So for you guys as a youth show, it would be really inappropriate for me as a station manager to come to you and say, I don't want you guys doing a story about such and such a source because they give us a lot of money and you have to be real nice to them. You know what I mean? It's real important for a manager not to meddle in the affairs of the work of the staff or the volunteers. So one of the things that I loved so much about working for Steve Skinner as his news director was that Steve never said to me, hey, you better take it easy on those guys because, you know, they give us a lot of money. You better, you know, don't do any real reporting. Just, you know, stick to the fluff. So that was something that I really respected about him, and that I want to carry on that tradition of us having a news department that the community can trust. But my job is no longer to do the news. I'll occasionally do interviews. A lot of my job is actually raising money, and it's not something that a lot of people like to do. It can be a challenge, but I believe so much in what we're doing and the mission of connecting communities to one another in the world and using KD&K as this public access point that I feel like I'm a pretty passionate salesperson for our mission and for getting people to give us money. In terms of my favorite part of it, for me, I think right now, having been in the newsroom and working so hard there, in a lot of ways right now, what's so fun for me, knowing that our news staff, Raleigh and Amy, are doing such a great job, and Steve Cole is such a wonderful voice in the mornings. But I think for me right now, the most fun thing is the new music. As we sit here in this room, you guys know this wall over here is all stacked with new releases. And so the idea that every week, like a shoebox full, or some weeks even two shoeboxes full of new music is added to these shelves, is added to the library. And the idea that I can walk in here any day, pull something off the wall, and discover the most amazing new music, that's probably one of the most inspiring things. But the other big inspiring thing for me is the youth program. I mean, whether it's hearing, you know, Miles playing this incredible soul music, or some of our high school DJs who have really matured so much and sound like they're ready to go out in the world and be young adults, even though we're all going to cry when they leave, or some of you younger kids in junior high and even some of the elementary kids. I mean, I think that's so critical. You know, you guys know about in gardening, you have to till the soil and you have to plant your seeds and then water them, and you have to kind of tend your garden. I feel like y'all are going to be the beanstalks, you know? So that's a big inspiration for us. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of public radio stations out there don't let youth on the radio. And I think they're missing out. I think we're gonna be able to show more stations that this model is a really inspiring thing and that it works. What do you guys think? Do you guys like doing this kind of radio thing?
Yeah,
definitely.
How has community radio impacted your life?
Oh, man, great question. Well, one of the things that's been funny for me is that I started doing radio in college, like I mentioned. When I first graduated from college, I moved to the city of Boise in Idaho. I never would have thought I would ever live in Idaho. I mean, a lot of people don't even know where Idaho is, or they just know it's good for potatoes. But I went there because there was a radio station starting up, and they wanted someone who was willing to work for basically no money all the time, just 60 hours a week for nothing, right? But I was so passionate about it that I went there, and I recruited and trained 30 DJs to help start that station. That station is now really successful, KRBX in Boise. They're a really cool radio station. And so I bring this up to answer your question because I was only in Boise for 1 year, but I made friends for life because of that experience, because community radio attracts people who are passionate, who are creative, who are interesting. You know, like you guys are, I'm just so excited to get to know you guys now that you're on the news team, you know? And so then after Boise, I was in Colorado for the first time. Then I was in California for a year. Then I was back in Washington State, where I'm from, for a year. And then I came back to Colorado. And so each time that I've moved, if you look at my Facebook friends or my contacts on my phone, I have these friends from all over the country now, because of community radio. And I think that's, for me in my personal life, that's one of the most exciting things about my career has been the connections and the friendships and like meeting people like Suzanne Fitzgerald and Beth Weisong, who are these inspirations to young people. You know, that means a lot. And so for me personally, I think it's the people I've met along the way. If more broadly, community radio, I think, has impact because it connects us. And it means that, for example, we went to Leadville on Saturday. And we learned, the three of us from the KD&K staff that went to Leadville learned, that there used to be a practice St. Patrick's Day parade every September in Leadville. And it's much colder in Leadville in March than it is in September. So if you want to go on a parade, you'd much rather do it in September, right? But they also have been a growing Latino population there. And for a long time, the two parades were separate. And in the last 2 years, they've now merged that parade. So you have people of Mexican ancestry and people of Irish ancestry who are now marching together in a community celebration. And they both, you know, the St. Patrick's Day folks are wearing green and celebrating Irish traditions. The folks that are marching in the Mexican-American parade are wearing these amazing, you know, outfits and kind of, you know, cowboy dudes are wearing their hats and riding their horses and stuff. So they're maintaining their original culture, but that they're coming together and building something that unites them. And that, to me, is the kind of the model of what community radio should be. We should be able to be a melting pot where we each get to bring what we know and our passions and then share them in a way that is uniting. And so I think it's, to me, it's both personal and sort of political, the answer to that question.
What do you like about kids being on the radio and the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just love the idea of empowerment. I don't even think it has to be radio. You know, I think the idea that young people can learn to find your own voice and to express yourselves. And let's be honest, who here was really nervous the very first time?
I was.
Me too.
Yeah.
Right.
Me too.
Of course. And part of that is that we don't want to make a mistake. We don't want people to think we're stupid. Part of it is we're shy and we're naturally, you know, you don't want to be embarrassed. But the other thing is that we as a society are trained from an early age to consume. They want us to sit on our couch with our remote control and now with our devices and just order stuff off of Amazon, get a pizza delivered. You know what I mean? We're taught to consume, but we're never taught to produce. And what's so inspiring to me about Andy Zanka is it's not just the personal empowerment that you learn these skills and you communicate and you feel confident and your other friends know that, oh yeah, you know, she's a radio DJ. She's cool, you know, but it's also that, that we're sort of flipping the paradigm where we're saying we, as our community, we're going to tell our own stories. We're going to go out there and decide what we as kids think is important and not just what our parents tell us to think is important, right? So I think that is one of the really important philosophical reasons that I love ASYAP. But the other big thing is just all of y'all, the personality. I mean, Mountain was out there helping us during Mountain Fair in the radio booth. I would get there in the morning and he would help me set up all the equipment. I mean, hey, that makes life easier and he's fun to have around, you know? And then, and then also I just think that, like I said, the music shows, you know, whether it's Monday afternoons, Thursday nights or Sunday afternoons, we hear on the station, we hear a big mix of music. And, you know, you guys can probably guess I don't love like all the Disney movie soundtracks. That's not my favorite. But I think it's really cool that each of you get to bring what you like and what you're interested in. So I hope that answers your question. I don't know. I tend to ramble. Sorry.
Thanks, Gavin. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to tell you that KD&K supports you and that not just myself and Amy Marsh and Raleigh Burley, but the whole crew here is really rooting for you in this new endeavor of doing news. And I want to encourage you to be creative and have fun, but also to remember that when you put the word news next to your show, there's a little bit of a, you know, you kind of have to stand up straight. You know, this is not that I have the best posture, but when I do what I do, not what I say, but I got that backwards. Anyway, what I was going to say is that, you know, I think as soon as you go from it's just fun, we're just going to have a radio show, we're going to play some music, we're going to talk to our friends, and you say, well, we want to tell stories. This is important. The facts do matter. And, you know, I think KD&K is trusted by our listeners. So I would ask you to try to keep that tradition in mind as you move forward as the news team, that if you know something, if let's say you have a question you're trying to answer, why do they, some of the ditches are kind of flooded sometimes. Whose fault is that? Well, we can't just say, well, it's the mayor. He's a lousy mayor, right? We have to like do our homework and really try to tell the stories accurately. So I think that's my last big comment to you guys is we're rooting for you. We have your back. I'll defend you to the end of the day. But we also need to try to, you know, build toward something we can feel confident putting out there when we start to say we're news. You know, it's a big responsibility. We take it very seriously at the station, even though we like to have a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, Gavin, for joining us today, this afternoon.
You have been listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. We have been talking to Gavin Dahl about KD&K and the importance of community radio.
Can I say one more thing, Mountain, before we go? I just want to add that this Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program is one of the best things that KD&K has helped to nurture and support. But I also think it's really key that we are two separate nonprofits. And I hope that listeners out there will remember that not only do we want you to be members of KD&K and support us during the pledge drive and call 963-0139 right now and up your membership and support what we're doing, but ASYAP also needs to get your support as well, folks. And so you can find out more at azyep.org And you can always get in touch with me, and I can put you guys in touch, you listeners out there, I can put you in touch with ASYEP as well. Both of these organizations need your support. So just keep that in mind. It's our fall membership drive at KD&K. We want you to call 963-0139, but we also want you to make sure that ASYEP is here for the long haul. It's really important.
Thank you, Gavin.
Yeah, thank you.
Stay tuned for KD&K News. Thank you for listening to KD&K.